No, Mincha finished a little bit late, but let's start. The title of the shiur is Standing Alone on Yom Kippurim. And the truth is that it's counterintuitive. I actually think it's a horrible title. Standing Alone on Yom Kippurim. Nobody complained. Beit HaVichai asked, how is shiur like that given here? Stand alone? Yom Kippur, I thought, is always about, I can't remember the title, but it's always about standing together. Anyone who is has learned my Rav's Torah, Ala Tshuva, and it's through and through, the idea of Kaparas HaTzibur, the Koach HaTzibur, the public coming together. What's this idea of standing alone on the Kippurim? So before I speak about the title, I want to first explain why the title is really not so appropriate. So if you look at source number one, the source number one, Gemara Maseches Yuma, Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph. So here, this is the Gemara, the Girsa, the reading we have in the Bavli. There is a second Girsa. Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Levi says, Gedola Tshuva Shemages Ad Kisei HaKavod. Tshuva is so great, it reaches to the throne of honor, the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shenemar, as it says, Shuvi Yisrael, read it to Shabbos, Ad Hashem Elokecha, return Yisrael, you will go to Hashem your God. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that a gedola tshuva, tshuva is so great, shedoche es lo seshev Torah. Tshuva is so great that it can push you off even a lo saseh. What do they mean? The Gemara says like this, very simple. If you have a couple that might be divorced, was married, I'm sorry, then they get divorced, and then the woman marries somebody else, she's not allowed to go back to her first husband. And here we have the Jewish people who, in a certain sense, were married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then they worshiped Avodah Zarah. It's like they went off with somebody else, and they were able to go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that losa say that once you have a relationship, and you break that relationship by going to somebody else, you can't return to the first relationship. That's a losa say. But tshuva is so great, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it uproots even that negative commandment. Even such an action, which usually cannot be uprooted, cannot be drawn back, tshuva can draw it back when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so from our reading of the Gemara, it seems that the two statements, Rabbi Levi's statement, the greatness of tshuva, and Rabbi Yochanan's statement, seem to be the same. If you look at source number two, which you don't have to, that's the Marsha. Marsha brings down a different gear, so different reading. This is the Girsa of the Ein Yaakov. The Rabbi Levi says, tshuva is so great that it goes to the Kisei HaKavod. Just until the Kisei HaKavod. It doesn't reach the Kisei HaKavod, just up into it. So tshuva is great, but there's something lacking. And the truth is, as the Marsha explains, you might need some help, you know, maybe whoever is there to help bring the tshuva to the Kisei HaKavod. And that's the statement of Rabbi Levi. So then the Gemara goes on, and the Gemara says, he says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Yochanan says that gedola tshuva is. He says, Yochanan says that about the idea that tshuva reason the Kiddushin has a covered, it's lo ad lo ad l'chal, that it doesn't get till Kiddushin has a covered. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan says that tshuva is so great it pushes off even a lo saseh. So the Gemara says, according to the Girsa of the Marsha, according to the Girsa of the Ein Yaakov, if you look at the very last line of source number two, Umashani Lokashya Kan B'Yochid Hashav. So a Yochid, individual who's doing tshuva by himself, does not have the Koach HaTzibur, does not have the strength of Am Yisrael with him. So he needs Emsoyim, whether it's whatever it is, he needs something to bring the tshuva up onto the Kisei HaKavod itself, the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when someone goes ahead and does tshuva with the tzibur, that source of the tzibur, doing of Am Yisrael together, so that will bring you straight onto the Kisei HaKavod, and it even pushes off a lo saseh, a negative commandment. So we see from this Gemara, based on the Girsa of the Ein Yaakov, the Marsha, the greatness, how great it is that to have the Koach HaTzibur. So And besides that, even if you didn't see a Gemara, anyone who goes to Shul Yom Kippur knows that the first words we start off of Yom Kippur, we don't start off with Kol Nidre, we start off B'Yeshiva Shalmala, B'Yeshiva Shalmata, Al Das HaMakom, Al Das HaKol, where he says, it's discussing with the Beis Din on top and the Beis Din on the bottom, with everyone together talking about it, we allow ourselves to daven with sinners. That's what we said. That's how we start Yom Kippur. Those are the first words of Yom Kippur. What do you mean? Because when you come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Yom Kippur, we need the tzibur, we need the public there. That's the first words of Yom Kippur. If you think about it, the first words of Yom Kippur are that concept that we need the public there. We're not there as individuals. So how can I come up with such a crazy title, Standing Alone in Yom Kippurim? However, so the truth is that we do stand alone. We stand alone Rosh Hashanah. And in a certain sense, we stand alone Yom Kippur. The Gemara Masech Rosh Hashanah, source number 3, tells us that Perek Aleph, Mishnah Bet, famous Mishnah, that 4 times a year we are judged. The Olam Nidon, the world is judged. On Pesach, we're judged for grain, what kind of produce we'll have in terms of grain. On Shavuos, we're judged how the fruits of the tree will turn out. On Rosh Hashanah, and obviously on Sukkot, we're judged for water. And Rosh Hashanah, Kobaya Olam Orulafan, Rosh Hashanah, and we know that Yom Kippur is sort of, Rosh Hashanah is Yom Hadin, Yom Kippur is Yom Tshuva Mechila, Kapara, the day we ask for Yom Rahmanas of mercy, but it's sort of like the end of the period of Rosh Hashanah. And we come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kivnei Maron. What does Kivnei Maron mean? But maybe like sheep that go through a gate. We come before as individuals. On Yom HaDin, we are judged as individuals, so of course we stand alone. But you could say, that's Rosh Hashanah. However, there's the Gemara Maseches Yumin Daf Lamed Tes Amud Bet, which the Gemara itself has to be explained. It will probably require a whole shiur. I'm not sure if I understand the Gemara. But the Gemara there is talking about the fact that during the time of the Second Temple, there were different kufos, different periods, and one of the greatest periods for the Jews was Shimon HaTzadik. He was probably, if not the greatest Kohen Gadol during the time of the Second Temple, certainly one of the greatest. And Tana Rabbanan, Osa Shana Shemes Bo Shimon HaTzadik, that year that Shimon HaTzadik died, he says, the 40 years I think he was in the Bay, he was a Kohen Gadol. But that year that he died, he came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, Yom Kippur. Amar Lehem, he said, to Klal Yisrael, B'shana Zuhu Meis, I'm going to die this year. Startling announcement, Yom Kippur. So Amar Lo, they said to him, Minana Tayudeya, how do you know you're going to die this year? He says, Amar Lehem, he says, B'chol Yom HaKippurim, every single Yom Kippur, Hayimizdamin Lizokin Echad, when I go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there is someone elderly, a Zokin. Lavush Levanim, he's wearing white clothes, those are the clothes of Yom Kippur, obviously. V'atav Levanim, and wrapped in white clothes. Nichnas Imi, he comes in with me. V'yotza Imi, he goes out with me. V'hayom, and this today, this year, Nisdamin Lim Zokin Echad, a Zokin, was there with me, but he wasn't wearing white. Love of Shechorim, he was wearing black. Va'at of Shechorim, and he was wrapped in black. Nichnas Imi, he came in with me. Velo Yotze Imi, he did not go out with me. And for me, that is a sign that I'm not going to make it through the year. Very quickly, achar regal, after a holiday, chola shiva yomim, he became sick for 7 days, umes, and he died. And after that time, the Kohanim did not want to say the real shame of Mefarush. Okay, so Tosfos Yerushalmi mentions Yerushalmi, source number 5. Tosfos Yerushalmi asks the question, actually a bomb question it seems like a real good question. He's Yerushalmi Baruch. How could it be that a Zakin Echad went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with him? The halacha is, if you look at source number 6, V'chol Adam lo yev olam moed. No one was allowed in olam moed, b'chol l'chavar v'kodesh. When he goes in the Kodesh HaTzeiso, he brings the Katoris into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, no one goes in with him. U'v'ad kol kal Yisrael. So how could it be there was a Zakin Echad? And Yerushalmi says, oh, maybe it was a Malach? Maybe it doesn't apply to Malach. So he says, Yerushalmi says, that even those where it says Upneim Tayodam, which is a malach, is the face of a man. So he says, can't be an olamoid with him. So how could it be when again in Kodesh Kodesh there's someone there? And Yerushalmi answers, and it's very hard to understand this Yerushalmi, I'm not even going to try. Umitarets kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Yerushalmi answers, it's the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So on some level, it was something symbolizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, and therefore, symbolizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, V'chol Adam Lo Yiyah, it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's not a, that does not include HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's not a problem that there was a Zaki Nechad in the Kodesh of Dashim with him. Fine. So, I think, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, my grandfather, was Rav Chaim, it was discussing Rav Chaim, and the question came up, what's the problem? Why is it a problem that there was somebody in there with the Kohen Gadol, Zochin Echad? In other words, if I go ahead and I'm walking, and the Kohen Gadol is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and I go in with him, okay, it's a problem, I'm over Losasei. Torah says, V'chol Adam Lo Yiyah. So I understand, I can't walk Kodesh HaKadoshim, I'm over Losasei. That's his Lo-Yiyah. But we're talking about, even we're talking about a Malach. A Malach is not obligated in Torah. So why should it be a problem that an angel went in there? The Shami says it couldn't be an angel because even an angel wasn't allowed to be in there. But so an angel was there. Why should it bother the Yerushalmi? An angel is not obligated in the mitzvos. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu told the angels when they asked, why is it that the Torah is given to Bnei Adam? And Moshe said, because you don't have to keep a Torah. It doesn't apply to you. So why is the Yerushalmi so bothered that there was an Adam there? And my grandfather suggested, Moshe Soloveitchik suggested, no. It's not that there's an Isser. Obviously, it's Isser for anyone to go into Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's Isser anyways. It doesn't make a difference. But what's the idea? The Torah is telling us that if someone is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Kohen Gadol, the kapara, there's no atonement. If you want atonement, the Kohen has to be there by himself. He has to stand alone. The Kohen Gadol must stand alone. And if the Kohen Gadol must stand alone in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and it obviously has to be alone anyways, but it's besides the Isser of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Yom Kippur demands at certain points we stand alone. So we also have to see ourselves sometimes on Yom Kippur standing alone. So we see the idea that a Kohen, we have to stand alone. Yom Kippur symbolizes at some point standing alone. There are two main stars of Yom Kippur. The main star of Yom Kippur is obviously the Kohen Gadol. But we know that the second star of Yom Kippur, doesn't come close to the Kohen Gadol, is the Ish, well, I'm talking about people, is the Ish Iti, right? The Kohen, we have to send the Sayer Lazazel to the desert, and you have to point a certain person to go ahead and to take it to a cliff and throw it down the cliff. And there are huts all along the way, and people accompany him most of the way. Why? In order, and it shouldn't be alone, and then they go ahead and they offer him food, which usually doesn't take. And if you look at the Mishnah says in source number 7, Parag Yuma, Parag Vav, Mesechus Yuma, Parag Vav, Mishnah Hay, I'll call Sukkah V'Sukkah, every single Sukkah, which is on the way, Omer Lo, they said, Arimazon, Arimayim, there's food, there's water, Umilavan also, and they accompany him, V'Sukkah, V'Sukkah, Chutz Me'achrona. Except in the last, when he gets to the last Sukkah, he's all by himself. Shebehen, She'eno Magia, Imo, L'Chuk, Ela Omeid, Merachal, Peroes, Maiseh. They don't come with him. He's by himself. They'll stand and see what he does. But he goes by himself. And why is that? Because the Pasuk says in the Achrei Mavos, V'nosa Sira Lov Eskol V'nesechem V'leret Gzeira, he has to take the Sayer Lazazel, the goat, to a barren land and send it to the Midbar. And therefore, barren is defined as no one else is there. So the Ishiti has to go there and he has to be there. The Ishiti has to be there by himself. Okay, now, I would just mention the Ishiti has to be there. The Ishiti has to be there by himself. So the question is, why is that? What's the idea? What's the message here? Why is it important on some level to go ahead and stand by yourself on Yom Kippur? So first, I want to mention one idea from my uncle, and then to go up other ideas. A few reasons why. So one idea is, my uncle is source number 8 in the Sefer Avodah Shel Kippurim. This was written by Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein Zatal on the Torah of my uncle on Yom Kippur. And he's pointing out, Rav Yosher Ber points out the differences between the regular vidui, confession that we say, and the vidui that the Kohen Gadol basically said in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, not just in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, not Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Kodesh, when he was Mizvada on the Sayir, on the Par, on all the animals. And he says that, you know, when we go ahead and we do a vidui, our own vidui, we say, "An Hashem, Chatasi, Avisi, Pashati, Lefanecha." He says, "I've sinned." It's the second paragraph of number 8. I rebelled against you, I went astray, and I did this and this. And very Nechamti, Uboshi, Vemasai, I feel bad. I don't want to act this way anymore. He's a, the Ula Olam and Chosel Dover Zel will never return to this. This is the Ikur of Vidui. He says, however, the vidui of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim, kafir no lamcha beis Yisrael, right? Atone. He doesn't talk about the fact that we sinned. He doesn't talk about the Kabbalah. He says, atone. So the question is, why is that? So my uncle points out there are two types of vidui. So one vidui is tshuva. Let's do tshuva. And the only way to do tshuva is to say that I sinned. And the truth is, we have to say, I feel bad that I sinned. And to go in and say, I'm not going to sin anymore. He says, but you know what? Only a person himself can do tshuva for himself. I can't do tshuva for somebody else. You know, I don't know if any of you have had this experience. You know, over my lifetime, Rosh Hashem, for a long time, I've always struggled. Last few years it's actually been okay, but I used to struggle with my weight. Whatever it is now, I remember when I was 17 years old, I went on a major diet, and Baruch Hashem. And then, you know, someone after they got married, and the same thing happened, and someone went on a diet, and then it happened again. I remember my wife telling me, I'm not going to say anything to you, because you'll only lose weight when you're ready. And at that point, when I was ready, I lost weight. The same thing, what does that mean? When we go ahead and we want to do tshuva, he says, so a person can't say vidu with me and say, oh, he feels horrible. The only one who can say you feel horrible at your sins are who? Yourself. And no one can say, well, you're going to change. The only one who can say that you're going to change is who? Yourself. So therefore, the Kohen Gadol cannot say, oh, I sinned, I did this. The Kohen Gadol cannot say, we're not going to do this anymore. That's not the job of the Kohen Gadol. That's the job of the personal vidui. What's the job of the Kohen Gadol? The job of the Kohen Gadol is to attain kapara for us. What does it mean to attain kapara? What it means is even if we sinned, even if we did tshuva, we can still somehow come a little closer. Somehow maybe we can build on that. Because when we did an Aveira, it wasn't just we did something wrong, we sort of distanced ourselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now we want to come closer. So once we did our own personal tshuva, and we want to come closer, then the Kohen Gadol says, "Kafir nola amcha Yisrael." And that's why the vidui of the Kohen Gadol is different. Because the vidui of the Kohen Gadol, he says, it's not a vidui is of tshuva. The vidui of the Kohen Gadol is to get kapara. He says to get kapara of Avram Yisrael. So he says, "Chatu, they sinned." But they don't, there's no kabbalah, I'm sorry, he says they sin, but they don't say kabbalah asid, they don't say we feel bad. In other words, our vidui we have to accept for the future, we have to say we feel bad. The Kohen Gadol says chattu, the Jews sinned. And one kapara, because the vidui of the Kohen Gadol is to acquire kapara, to bring us a little closer. But if you want to get the tshuva in the first place, to do tshuva, that only you can do. The Kohen Gadol brings the kapara, but we need to do our own tshuva. So, in order to do tshuva, we need to stand alone. Why do we need to stand alone? So we need to stand alone. Once we stand alone, we do tshuva, then the Kohen Gadol can come and he can bring kapara for Am Yisrael. Why do we need to stand alone? I think there are many reasons. Reason number one, if we go ahead and look. Now, if you look at source number 9, so the Chaf Aleph Min Aleph, the Gemara says that when they bowed in the Beis HaMikdash for Korim, so they would have plenty of room for each of them. Why? So Rashi points out, because if a person was saying his own personal vidui, he didn't want someone to hear. I don't want my neighbor to know what Averis I did, right? Why? Because when you bow down, you had your own personal vidui. That's your own personal tshuva. the Kohen Gadol brings the kapara. But the first step is the personal tshuva, where you regret what you did and you accept upon yourself to change. And that can only be you, and that's why you have to stand alone. Why? How come? So there are a number of reasons why. Reason number one is important to stand alone, and probably the main reason is, let's look at a famous Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Gemara says there, speaks about a person, Rabbi Lazar ben Dordaya, that he says, Shalom, he was a very inappropriate person. Okay, and I assume at this point he wasn't called Rabbi Lezer. It was Rabbi Lezer, Lezer ben Dordaya. Shalohi niach zona achas ba'olam shalbo aleha. He had a problem with his Yetzirah, and if he knew, now by the way, the olam doesn't mean the whole world. Obviously, he didn't go to the Far East, but in his world, if he knew of a prostitute, he would go, whatever it cost. Pam achas, one time, he shama, he heard sheyesh zona achas, was a prostitute, b'krochi ayom, in the islands of the sea. And she would take a huge amount of money. So he figured, for that kind of money, it must be worth the trip, right? Not all kizdinrin. So he took a kizdinrin, v'halach, he went, v'avar la shiva naros. He put so much effort, he traveled across seven rivers, and then v'shah hergal davar, and while they were coming into with each other, he ficha, which I mean, she flatulated, and I guess she felt a little embarrassed, you know, because you're paying this kind of money. So Amra, she said, "Kishen shaficha zu enoch zeres lemkoma." Just like this gas will never go back to its place. Kach Elazar ben Dordaya, ein mekablin osa b'tshuva. Elazar ben Dordaya, for all his averus, will never be accepted. He can't do real tshuva. So all of a sudden, you know, it must be that everyone was trying to convince all his friends, like trying to convince him all of a sudden to do tshuva all his life, and nothing worked. Finally, this one statement from the Zona Achas, B'Krachi Ayam, it's one prostitute, all of a sudden they pushed him. So what did he do? So he realized, oh my gosh, look what happened. Halach b'yosha ben shnei har mugvos. He went and sat between two mountaintops and peak tops. Amar, he said, Harmukvos, Bikshu alai Rachamim. Mountain and peak tops, request from me Rachamim. Amrullo, they said, to ask mercy for you? We have to ask mercy for ourselves. Okay, because we also have challenges. So then he said, the sun and the moon should, Bchamulavana, they should ask for mercy for me. The Bachelor Mezzo, he says, because also, where else? He says, what do you mean? We also have challenges. And the Pasuk tells the challenges they will have. He says, Amar, then he says, the stars and the constellations, the planets, Shemavakesh Rachim, and ask for mercy from me. And he says, until we ask for you, we have to ask for ourselves. Other Pasuk, which implies that the host of the heavens have challenges. So Amar, he said, Ein hadavar talui alibi. He says, this only depends upon me. He niach rosho bein birkov. He put his head between his knees, begob b'chiyah, and he cried, achi yatsa nishmaso, until he passed away. Which means that he did tshuva. He felt very bad. But for some reason, he must have felt like that there was no way, he knew there's no way he could continue if he didn't do this, so it was preferable to just to move on to the next world. But he did tshuva. Yotza basko, the Amra, a voice from heaven came out and said, Relazar ben Dordaya, mezuma l'chalam abba. He is set and invited to Olam Abba. So he says, the Gemara. So then the famous Gemara, the Rebbe says, that you can have a person can kona his olamo in 1 hour. Rebbe started to cry. Look at that. A person can acquire his world in 1 hour. And because look at Elazar ben Dordaya. He acquired his world. He did terrible things his whole life. And the end, he cries, he does tshuva, and he goes to Olam Haba. So the Bali Musar asked the question, why did Rebbe cry? He should have danced. He should have, he heard the story. He should have made a kiddush, a l'chaim. A person acquired Olam Haba in 1 hour. The Bali Musar point out, because he was crying not for Elazar ben Dordaya. He was crying for all those people that hour comes and they let it run by them. That's who he's crying for. But what's a shot in this Gemara? Elazar ben Dordaya at that moment realized what a terrible life he had been living. And what was his reaction? His reaction was, as opposed to looking at himself, he says, it's this person, environment's fault. The environment caused me to do this. Do you know who my friends are? Do you know the speeches that I heard? Do you understand what's going on? He was looking to see where can he blame. He wanted to blame this, wanted to blame that. And they said, you know what? We have our own problems. And finally, at the end, he realized the only one I can blame is myself. A lot of times when we look at our lives, look at the mistakes we make, you know, we're very quick to say, well, it's that person's fault. If this had been different, you know, so I went, you know, and at the my age, I came to Yeshiva University after the Rav had stopped giving shir. And one of the big lines you would hear is, oh, if I had been the Rav Shir, I'd be such a lamna because he would ignite me and he would awake me and everything. And the answer is, you know what? You're not in the Rav Shir, okay? And that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu chose you. So stop giving yourself excuses. But everything in life, we can give ourselves excuses. The problem is when you don't stand alone of other people, stand with other people, you can blame other people. That's the bottom line. And therefore, we at some point in the tshuva process, we have to stand alone. Because if we don't stand alone, we're going to blame people. And we have to blame ourselves. And once we blame ourselves why we're here, then we can find a way to correct and change ourselves. You know, there is I heard a story. It's obviously, it could be true. And I'll just use, you know, the way I heard the story. It could go in both directions. But we'll talk about two people, okay? The husband's name is Abe. And the wife's name is Sarah. I just chose his name because they were the first father and mother of Klal Yisrael. But I didn't want to call them that, so I'll call them Sarah and Abe. So Sarah goes to the doctor back in the day when, you know, doctors dealt with everything. And Sarah says to the doctor, you know, doctor, I think Abe is not hearing me so well. He doesn't listen, doesn't hear me. So what should I do? She says, well, how bad is his hearing? I have no idea. How can I test it? So I'll tell you what. When you get home tonight, stand at the beginning of the room and ask him a question. And when he doesn't answer you, move closer and closer until he answers you, and then you'll know how bad his hearing is. Okay, great. So Sarah comes home, and Abe is in the other part of the room, and Sarah says, Abe, what do you want for dinner? No answer. Okay, she moves a little closer, a little louder. Abe, what do you want for dinner? No answer. And she keeps moving till finally she's right up to him. And she says, Abe, what do you want for dinner? And he says, for the third time, chicken. What does that mean? What it means is that, you know, sometimes we think we have the problem. Now, by the way, you could have switched it around. It could be Abe that thought his wife didn't hear. Okay? But I'm a man. What can I tell you, okay? So she says, the first step in the true process is to realize, no, the problem was with me. I'll tell you another story I heard. There was a certain person who was hired to be the CEO of a big organization, CEO, a big company, and you know, as he's coming in, the outgoing CEO says, "Listen, there's no question this organization, you're going to have problems, there's going to be crises. Here are three envelopes. This is advice how to deal with it, but the only way it's going to work is if you go ahead and you only open these envelopes as the crisis comes up. Envelope number one, the first crisis. Envelope number two, the second crisis. And envelope number three, the third crisis." Okay, he takes the envelopes, puts them in his drawer. Everything is great. You know, new CEO comes in. The stocks are going up. Everything's great. There's a lot of movement. 6 months later, all of a sudden, profits start to go down. The stock is being affected. He doesn't know what he's going to do. She goes into his office, locks the door, pulls out an envelope, and the first envelope says, "Step one, blame your predecessor." Okay? He calls a press conference, gets up there, and he says, okay, he says, I'm sorry, I've been trying very hard, but there was so much damage done. Okay? By my predecessor, it takes time. But we're working on it. Press conference is over, shocks everything into movement, things are great. Productivity is going up again. Everything is great for 6 months. 6 months later, again, the same thing happens. So he goes into his office, closes the door, takes out envelope number two. Envelope number two says, restructure. Great idea. He promotes certain people, demotes certain people, fires certain people, hires certain people. Great, the company is back on track. 6 months later, same thing. Says, He doesn't want to do. Okay, well, there's one more envelope. I have one more. One more. The vice versa. Right. He says, go in there. Envelope number three says, prepare three envelopes. Okay? What's the idea? So much time in life, we like to blame people. You know, when I was in yeshiva post high school. So in high school, I learned Navi. When I was in yeshiva post high school, so we learned Gemara. You know, we had to go to university also. We didn't have that much time. And so Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday, we learned regular Gemara, whether it was Pesachim or Shavs or Vakam or whatever. And then Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we learned Yerodeya. So one day, I complained to my mother. I said to my mother, I said, I don't understand. This is crazy. I said, okay, we're Mavra Sedra. We never learned Navi. It's a crazy thing. Okay, so she thought, my mother loved Navi, by the way. So she went ahead and she actually mentioned this Tana, this complaint to my brother, who was one of their Baim in the yeshiva. He said, Chaim's right. Tell him to make a Seder Navi. Right? And you know what? Okay, so there's no one teaching a Derech. But you know what? That's the first step. And I want you to know that I have a nephew I'm very close to, go into the mirror last year. He says, do you have any piece of advice for me? I said, yes. Make a Seder and Navi. That's what I said. Make, because you're not going to learn Navi during Seder. Make a Seder. See, actually, after a half year, he actually listened to me. He made a Seder and Navi. I'm saying, but what's the point? The point is that a lot of times we want to blame this and blame that. And maybe sometimes that was his fault. But ultimately, the buck stops here. Where does it stop? If you want to do tshuva, we have to know that we have to fix things. And that's why it's important. That's why it's important that a person stands alone in Yom Kippur, because until he goes ahead and realizes that he has to make the change, right? It's not going to work. And that's the message, Lashon Judaya, and that's why it's important to go ahead and stand alone. But you should know that there's a second reason why we have to stand alone. More on the positive side. And what's the positive side? I think it's important to know who you are. Because to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's, you know, in the best way, it's important with Rel in the Torah to know who you are, what your talents are, and what your personality is. Because if you're always around people, you might go ahead and just imitate them. And maybe that's not the best way to go ahead and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll tell you an incident. I wasn't sure if it's appropriate to say it, but I called my oldest brother. So if you can say the story, it's fine. So in my house growing up, there wasn't a lot of singing around. Okay, I used to sing a lot. Okay, I think I drove my brothers crazy, actually. But I used to sing. I used to like to sing. And as a matter of fact, as I got older, I would actually sing Zmiras to the table. My mother loved it. And I remember the Seder night, after the Seder was over, so my sister and myself would sing Nirtza. I'm not sure what everyone else did. And my father, like a good Litvish Yid, would say Nirtza. He said, oh, Nirtza? My sister and I would sing Nirtza. So one time, and he says, like, I said, like, why don't we sing? Like, why don't we sing? Okay? And by the way, it's strange because our name is Soloveitchik, which stands for singing bird. Why don't we sing? So I was told, well, Soloveitchiks don't have good voices. I'd love to hear that, okay? You know, so the truth is, I would daven for an oven. My mother always told me I daven beautifully, but of course, every mother would say that. But okay, so whatever, I still sing. So one time I was visiting my father's sister, Ann Gerber. She was the last surviving sibling. And 2 years before she passed away. And I visited her on Chol HaMoed, and I remember the conversation came up. And I said to her, I sing, but, you know, I said, we didn't sing in the house because they said Soloveitchiks don't sing well, don't have a good voice. So she said to me, Soloveitchiks don't have a good voice? That's nonsense. She said, I hear the Soloveitchiks and Gula singing. They have very good voices, she says to me. She says, you know why the Soloveitchiks think they don't sing well? Is because your grandmother, my mother was a Feinstein, and the Feinsteins have beautiful voices. And therefore, compared to Soloveitchiks, compared to the Feinsteins, it wasn't the greatest. So she would say, don't sing. Learn Torah instead. You learn Torah very nicely. But Soloveitchik says, and she said to me, Chaim, keep singing. Now, why do I say that? I love to sing. It's a very important part of my avoda. You should know, I sing at every Shabbos meal when I'm home. And even if my kids don't sing, I sing. I love to sing. It's a very important part of my avoda. And I walk around. I was walking around the whole Friday singing. I can sing on the street, walking down the street. It doesn't make a difference to me. It's a very, obviously, Jewish songs that are lev. You have to know exactly who you are
in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a lot of times, you know, when you go ahead and you you're around people, you want to be like this person, be like that person, and they can be a good role model for you. But ultimately, to really grow, you have to know who you are. The Ramban on Parshas Noso asked the question. You know, if you ask the Torah, we know never repeats itself. Never repeats itself, nothing extra. You look at the end of Parshas Noso. Parshas Noso is the longest parsha in the Torah. Why? Because Parshas Noso deals with the Chanukas Mizbeach, how a Nasi would go ahead and the Nasi, in different Nasim, each Shevet every day from Rosh Chodesh Nisan would bring a korban, certain korbanos, to go ahead and to dedicate the Mizbeach. And I have to tell you, anybody who goes to shul on a daily basis can lane. I can lane it, and I've heard it. Korbano, karas kasevacha. Why? Because you read it in Parshas Noso, you read it in the Chanukah, and it's just a repeat. You repeat every single thing. Not only that, it's almost exactly the same trope. So Ramban says, like, what's going on here? Why the Torah, which doesn't repeat words, no extra word. Why does the Torah repeat this? Why does the Torah repeat this? So the Ramban says, he says that all the Nesiim, source number 11, Parshas Noso, all the Nesiim had this thought to go ahead and to makriv korbanos. Avol Nachshon, second line number 11, Parshas Noso, Chosha b'shir hazeh tamechod. Nachshon had one reason for it. V'zuloso, kolach Nesiim. Every Nasi had a different reason to bring the same korban. Amru, she says, everyone had their reason. What does that mean? Everyone brought the korban, not because they were copying somebody else, but they felt this is the right thing. This is part of their DNA. That's the idea. If you go ahead and you look at the Sfas Emes, the Sfas Emes says that, you know, we know that Kayin brought a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a sacrifice, and Hevel also, and the Torah says, Vehevel hevi gam hu. Hevel also brought. So it's very strange wording. What do you mean Hevel also brought? Just obviously, if it says that Hevel hevi, we know Hevel also brought. What does it mean that Hevel actually brought? Just, he also brought. Just say Hevel brought. Then we know he brought. So why is the Torah adding that word? So if you look at source number 12, the end, the Sfas Emes says, it's a beautiful Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes, number one is that he brought himself and he connected. He says, if you look at, I'm sorry, the second line, this Veshlomer Ode, Ki Ikara Korban, Hu Shi Yismoch Hanat Hazeh Alzeh Korban, he should do Smicha, connect to the Korban, Veshalidezeh, and through this, Yidavik Batmo, he'll connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu. He says, Vezesha Kosav, last line now, Hevi Gamhu, Gamas Atzim, he brought himself with the Korban, he was able to connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu. How does a person connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu? A person connects to Kodesh Baruch Hu by going ahead and knowing who you are and what you are, and then doing Torah mitzvahs through that, then you connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a lot of times when you're around people, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to understand, to really go ahead and understand who you are. I would just tell you, you know, as a Soloveitchik, I have this a lot. So someone says, in this country all the time, someone says my name, Soloveitchik, oh, are you related? Well, of course I'm related, because the truth is, our salvation is not related. Yeah, but then I say I'm related. It happens all the time. I'm related, and and sometimes you can have identity crisis. As a matter of fact, you know, this past Shabbos, I had lunch with a very old friend. We both live in Mount Beit Shemesh. We've all been busy over the years, and the truth is, we haven't really connected for various reasons. But now, as our children are getting older, so we're able. So we had lunch in the house, and he reminded me of a story. The first time he met me, it was in the YU based Medrash, and he's very into Brisker Torah. And he opens on the table he was sitting. There was a Grach al Rambam, and he opens the Grach al Rambam. And written inside the Grach al Rambam is the name of the person that owns it. And it says inside there, Chaim Halevi Soloveitchik. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik Sefer. So he asks,
Who's the joker that wrote Chaim Levi Soloveitchik in the Grach al Rambam? The Grach al Rambam is Chaim Soloveitchik. And I turn around, I'm the joker because my name is Chaim Soloveitchik. It's identity crisis. So he says, you know, it's very important to know who you are. So because you know who you are, you can serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu better. You know, the Soloveitchiks have a lot of chumras, I have to tell you. And, you know, it's interesting, we keep a longer Shabbos, we're Machman Kemach Yashan, I don't use an Erev. And I have to tell you that I never struggled with these chumras. Never struggled with other things, not those chumras. Why? Because since I knew my father, so that was part of my DNA in a certain level of being a Soloveitchik. And some of my children do struggle a little bit because they did not know my father, unfortunately. And therefore, that aspect is not part of their DNA. In order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to know who you are. And a lot of times when you go ahead and you have people around you, all of a sudden you forget who you are. And for that reason, it's important. It's important to know. It's important to know who you are. And who you, as a matter of fact, if you look at source number 13, it says, Amu Alava Hilla Zokain. They said about Hilla Zokain, Kishayu Sameach, the Simchas Veshoeva. When he was happy, rejoicing with Veshoeva, Amar Kain, he would say like this, Imanikan Hakolkan. If I'm here, everyone's here. Sounds kind of egotistical. I'm here. Okay, let's party. My father explained, it doesn't mean that I'm here. Me personally. It means if I, knowing who I am here. So then everyone is here. That's what's really important. And that's why sometimes it's important to stand alone, to know who you are, obviously within the context of the Torah. And once you know who you are, you can keep all the mitzvot on a better level. And that's why sometimes it's important to really sit down and go ahead and think very much about it. So that's a second reason. And just to finish off the third reason of why it's important to stand alone, here I have a copy of Da'al HaTshuva. So the Rav in Da'al HaTshuva speaks about the fact that we as Jews, we have two sanctifications. We're Baruch Hashem, a holy people. On one hand, we have a sanctification. We're holy because we come from Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. We come from really great stock. We're very, very special. And the other hand, we also have kedushas. We have our own kedusha. We have a certain sense of a singular kedusha. Every individual goes ahead and has this kedusha. And as a matter of fact, my uncle explained that, you know, last week in the Torah we read Parshas Nitzavim, and Parshas Nitzavim speaks about a bris, that we have a new bris of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kolchem, and we made a new bris. And the question is, why a new bris? What was wrong with the old bris? So, obviously what happened was, we worshipped the ego. Okay, there's no question about that. But there's something different there. He says, the second bris is Kedushas Atzma. In other words, what does that mean? We have to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there are two ways to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One way to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through our forefathers. And by the way, it's very important. Sometimes a person will ask you, well, why do you do this? He says, you know why I do this? Because my father did that. And my grandfather did. And my great-grandfather did that. There's no question. We have to keep that in mind. Tradition, Mesorah, is so important. On the other hand, we have to forge a new bris of HaKadosh Baruch Hu just with ourselves. This is a personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we feel that we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of who we are also. And which one is more important? Well, I'll tell you. When we daven Shmoneh Esrei, what do we say? We say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu. We mention our own personal relationship first. That's right. And a lot of times when we go ahead and we speak about the relationship we do it through here, through this. No. A person has to go ahead and has to know himself, who he is, and he has to forge and make that special relationship. Now, there are people whose relationship is only through their fathers and their grandfathers, previous generations, I mean. You know, we have to go ahead and we have to forge our own relationship. And that's why it's very important to stand alone, to know, well, we're standing alone because we have to forge our own relationship. So very quickly, just to review as we finish.
Yom Kippur is coming. So Yom Kippur, there's no question that koach at Tzibur is very important because the Tzibur helps. There's a certain koach to the Tzibur. On the other hand, we stand alone as we saw Hashem when you go into Kodesh HaKadoshim. You're supposed to stand alone. And you're supposed to actually meditate a little bit. And why is that? Reason number one is we have to realize that when we have to fix ourselves, okay, we have to do we have to say vidui in order to go ahead and in order to do a real tshuva, no one can do tshuva for us. Someone can bring me kapara, but no one can do a real tshuva for us. We have to go ahead and do the tshuva ourselves because only we have the commitment to push ourselves to change. And number two, because only we can recognize the fault lies with us. That's reason number one. Reason number two, why we have to go ahead and stand alone at certain points in Yom Kippur, is in order to go ahead and know who we are, what our talents are, what brings us close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is it, what type of learning, whether it's the chesed that we do, what the tefillah it is, what really touches our soul to bring us close. And a lot of times, well, I'll be with this person, that touches, no, you have to know what touches you. How can you connect the strongest connection? And the third is because you have to have, we have to strive, we have to aspire to a personal relationship. And just to finish off, you know, in the we basically just finished designed the Nechemta, the seven Haftoros of Nechama. And I've mentioned a number of times in the past that in the Avudraham mentions a medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Nachmu Nachmu Ami. Nachmu Nachmu Ami. I want the nation to be comforted. And then what happens? The next Haftorah is, Vatomer Tzion. Tzion says, Avani Hashem, Hashem has forsaken us. Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, and we say, the Navi says, Ani Yasar Alonu Chama, we're not comforted. And then finally at the end, the last Haftorah, Sosas is Hashem, we'll rejoice in Hashem, and we come to Yom Nerayim. What's the connection? And there is a connection between the Zion, the seven Haftorahs of comfort, Yom Nerayim. Connection is because we're trying to get Yom Kippur to forge that personal connection. Klal Yisrael said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's very nice, you want to bring us back to Eretz Yisrael, but we want a personal connection again. And the best way to make the personal connection is for people to stand alone. Once we stand alone for some time, and we realize what we have to change, we realize that the lies of us responsibility, what we have to change, and then we can go ahead afterwards and know who we are, then we can really form that personal connection. So we should all be zoches as Yom Kippur comes, to first of all realize what we have to do, and number two, to find out who we really are, and number three, forge a personal connection to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Mark Simatov, everybody. Thank you.